Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Wednesday, September 28th, 2022, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Wednesday. Blessings to you. Yes, blessings, blessings. I believe for them. I want you to believe for them, too. Believe for them. Yeah, ask for them. Seize them. Create them. Be one. Give one. How about that? How about giving many? How about receiving many? You know what that's called? That's called reciprocity. And it has a spiritual nature. And some of you all know about that, know what I'm talking about. Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. Ooh, that's talking about overflow blessings. Don't you like the sound of that? I know I do. I know I do. But you know what? There's a twist. There's a little glitch. And I know you're saying, yeah, there always is, right? Well, it's not a bad one. It's just that with all that giving, you gotta do it from your heart. Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that in there because a lot of times we hear that scripture and nobody says that. But you know what? You got to check your motives. You got to meditate on that for a while today. Check your motives. And then, as the phenomenal songstresses would say, this powerful, profound, and awesome, and on point, and deliberate message, go get your blessings. Go get it. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, indeed. And that's all I have to say about that. Well, today my guest is someone who has a whole lot of other stuff to say. She's a brilliant writer and a skillful word artist. She just published a wonderful book entitled Uninterrupted Thoughts. And today we will get to hear from her, her smooth delivery. I'm looking forward to that. Her beautiful poetic style and elegant presentations as only she has the talent to share. Oh, wow, I can hardly wait. I bet you feel the same way. She's Alicia Azahar, and she is in the Foxology Spotlight today. Welcome, Alicia.
Hi, how are you today, Ms. Silver Ray?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. I'm really excited to hear you today. I know that I did hear you in person before, and I was so very impressed, and your wonderful book as well. So they have a treat in store for sure today.
Thank you. Welcome.
Listen, I always have my guests share a little bit about their backstory, and the question I'm going to start with you is, when did you discover that you had this gift? You know, I love this art. And a long time ago, I used to write poems all the time, too. Lord knows where they are. But when did you discover this gift that you have?
Actually, I would say as far as knowing it's a gift, I discovered there later in life, like when I became an adult and I started actually posting my poems, and I would have people DM me and say, hey, that poem you posted really inspired me. Or sometimes they would write that on the post that I actually had up, you know, whatever poem I would put up, I would have people comment. So as an adult, I started realizing that it truly was my gift from God. As a child, I just knew I loved to write. And, you know, as children, mm-hmm. we don't necessarily know that it's a gift, right? At least I didn't know it was an actual gift. It's just something I knew I loved to do. And I thought I was pretty good at it. But it wasn't until I became an adult and started actually, you know, just really, really just seeking God and just realizing, you know, just the things that he's put before me, that this is my gift that he's given me to use to help others.
Mm-hmm. That's really wonderful. That's, of course, a wonderful place to come from when you're writing. And, you know, words just have such power. They do.
Yes.
And I, you know, they do. And when you have the gift to be able to speak it and to write it, you know, the way it hits people, you know, in their mind and in their heart and in their spirit, it can be, and as I'm sure you've learned, it can be life-altering. It can change things. You can hear something, and literally on the spot, it can change your whole paradigm about something you
yes.
may have been thinking about or facing in life, or you know, in so many other ways as well. Can you remember exactly the first time that you posted something on social media? Do you remember what the content of it was, and what was your idea and motive at that time? Were you just sharing, or were you really trying to get your craft out there?
I believe this was a poem that I wrote several years ago. I was in a not so good relationship, and there was this poem called Boy Please. And I had a friend that was like, because, you know, it was kind of like telling the guy, like, look, just because you're sculpted and you look good and stuff, you know, basically, you're not going to disrespect me or call me out of my name. And I had, you know, a couple of women that were like, that poem really resonated with them. And they were like, hey, you know, like, that speaks to me. You know what I'm saying? Because when a lot of times when you have, especially commonalities like that, you share something, you know, everyone I'm pretty sure has had ups and downs in their relationship, or maybe had that one relationship, you know, that wasn't so good, where the guy may have cursed them out or called them out of their name or just whatever. And it's like, no, I'm standing up. You're not going to disrespect me. And so I honestly posted it just to kind of, a lot of times I like to post things to kind of just get that out of my system. You know, maybe it's something that, you know, I just felt in that moment, like I just wanted to say or to, you know, put it out there. But then too, I do post things because I said, well, someone may, you know, this may reside with them. Someone may feel the same way. So I do post a lot of times, you know, with that mindset as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am going to talk to you about everything you just said for a couple of minutes. And if you have that particular poem handy, hopefully you can share it with us. But here's what I want to know.
Okay.
You said that you were in a raggedy relationship, and so lots of women know about that for sure. And you mentioned a couple of
yes.
things about cursing and calling out your name, which, oh boy, zero tolerance. There should be zero tolerance for that. Absolutely.
Right.
And that's just my aside and inside and B-side and all of that for girls and women. That is just zero tolerance. That should not be happening. And I know that it does, but it should not be. It should not be accepted.
Right.
It should not be tolerated at all. And then I wanted to mention that you have the most fabulous husband, because I met him. So maybe women
yes.
can learn from this, that if you get rid of that boy please, you are opening the door for something really, really wonderful.
Yes.
Because your guy is
yes.
so special. I met you both at an event and had
mm-hmm.
the opportunity to interact with him. And something I appreciate from men that just was so easy, so natural for him to be such a gentleman. Oh, my God. It was just so phenomenal. I just thought,
yes.
I watched the way he treated you. He came over to my table to see about me, and I was like, goodness, what a gem he is. So I wanted to bring
yes.
that up before you shared the poem to let women know, yeah, you know, what's that, boy, bye. You know, say bye to nonsense, because there are some good guys
yes.
out there who will treat you right, treat you the way you need to be treated. And when that's, listen, that's all, I can go off on a tangent on that, because I just believe we need to recognize red flags and not be afraid to run and run fast. So.
That's true. That right there, what you said, you know, not be afraid to run. And I mean, I appreciate you just, you know, edifying my husband. He is a wonderful man. He's a breath of fresh air from what I've come from. So
oh,
this is
God.
Just a whole nother blessing and new experience that I truly thank God for him. He is a wonderful
mm-hmm.
man. And how he was that day at the event, he's like that. Even like he always is so concerned about me, and he caters to me. And when we go out and things like that, especially if I'm doing events, he's like, I'll set the table up. You focus on you. Let me just make sure you have what you need. And it's truly a blessing. It is.
Yeah. Well, I saw it up close and personal. So I just hope everybody can understand and hear what we're saying and what we're trying to visualize for him, because it's out there. There are men
yes,
who
ma'am.
Are like that. They are indeed.
Yes.
So with all of that being said and nothing doing to our little itty bitty on that, do you have your boy please poem available?
I do. I can go ahead and perform that real quick. And this is something, like I said,
yes.
I wrote back, you know, a while ago, but it still holds true today. And
yes,
it goes,
indeed.
Boy, you done lost your mind calling me out of my name. And then you turn around and you try to get some tail. Man, please, I ain't treating you the same. And then you wonder why I'm so hostile and I act a fool with you. And then you talk about I don't give you none. Heck no, not acting like you do. See, what you don't know about me is I don't easily give in. You think a kiss and some sweet tender talking is going to make us be friends? But recognize a real woman, because I'm not a little girl you trying to play. See, your sexy smile and that sculpted body, huh, that's not enough to make me stay. Because I'm an educated woman and I have standards in class. I have no time for little boys. That's what you represent. So I'll pass. So the next time you want to play childish games and play me like a fool, here's some advice for you, little boy. Recess is over. Now get back to school.
All right, then.
And
listen,
that's an older poem. Like, I was younger, you know, but, you know, so.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, I think every big girl understood it, too.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. There's it might be verbalized a little bit different in an adult way, but
yes.
Listen, people get it. People get it.
Mm-hmm.
That whole relationship thing, people get it. So thank you for sharing that. That's
You're
awesome. You hit the important points for sure.
Right. Exactly. No matter how sexy you
sure.
are, how sculpted that body, you ain't going to call me out my name. Nope. So
there's just things that you cannot do. Zero tolerance.
Right.
That's my favorite line from things. Zero tolerance for
yeah.
that. So
right.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. So you, I am sure, have just tons of writings that you have put pen to, and I know that it's a process, different, maybe not so different for so many people. I think there's a similarity. But I always ask about the inspiration. I know that from talking with you just these few short minutes, much of it is a divine inspiration. The one you just read, maybe not so much divine, but definitely on point.
Yes.
That definitely came from a spiritual place, but maybe not the one that I'm talking about right now.
Right.
But I'd like for you to share. I talked to someone else, my guest last week, as a matter of fact, who just put out a book, and he talked about how he gets up in the middle of the night. He has a very interesting sleep schedule, like a lot of us do, but he goes to bed at 6 a.m., wakes up at midnight. I'm sorry, 6 p.m., wakes
wow.
up at midnight, and works until 4 and goes back to sleep for a couple of hours before he starts the daytime life. I actually kind of think that's really cool. I thought it was, because I think there are a lot of people who think they're struggling with sleep and their body clocks just may be something else. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. For what I'm wanting you to share is your process. What do you do? When does it happen for you? I mean, are you, you know, like sitting somewhere and then all of a sudden you get a surge of inspiration to write? What happens for you?
To be honest, it hits me at different times. Some of the poems that I've written, it's like I can be sitting there and a poem, some words will just come to me. And I feel like that's the Holy Spirit coming to me, and I'll just start writing it down. I've written poems in like 10 minutes. And then there's times where I'm inspired by something, whether it's an event that happened, whether I see something on Facebook, whether I see something, you know, when I'm just walking, taking a hike at the grocery store. It just hits me at different times. I've had those instances where actually just recently I've been working on this poem for an event I have Friday for the National Hispanic Heritage Month. And I woke up at like 4 something in the morning, adding more to the poem. And I'm like, okay, you know, and it just hit me. And so it just happens at different times. But I think just life itself, you know, sometimes, you know, it may hit you harder than other times. Different things inspire you. There's times where people may have me, you know, write something for them, different things like that. But mine is just random. I don't have any, you know, specific time.
Yeah, I can understand that quite well. I do quite a bit of writing myself, not in the same genre as you now, but I get that too. There are a lot of times, I tell you, when I look around, just even now, I have like several notes, just the things I don't want to forget to add to something else, because I add a thought or the lines come to me, I jot them down. And then I go and put all those little, you know, pieces together and make it into an article or something. It's really a very cool process, and in its own right, very clever. You know, it feels clever when when it's happening to you. It feels so clever. So I just wanted to know what your process was. So you said when you were younger, you used to like to write. Was like English, like was your, that your favorite subject when you?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. So of course that involved. I'm thinking you got a lot of inspiration from reading as well. Were there any people who you found to be your favorites who helped light your fire?
Honestly, with writing, what got me into it, I will say this first. What got me into writing is I lost my mom at the age of 8. I found her dead. And that was very a traumatic experience for me. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And so basically, you know, my dad, you know, they took me to go get help, basically, just, you know, a counselor. And so what I did was the counselor told me, like, write everything down, however I'm feeling, whether happy, sad, mad, write it down. So they bought me a diary or a journal, and I would just write my feelings out. And I found out that writing made me feel better. It didn't matter if I was sad or mad or whatever. Writing, just being able to get whatever was in me out, made me feel better. And then, of course, English, you know, English class, just writing papers. I love Emily Dickinson. I love Edgar Allan Poe, Maya Angelou, different poets like that, Langston Hughes. They really inspired me, you know, as far as with poetry. Of course, too, my dad and them, they had that old, that really thick nursery rhyme book with all the nursery rhymes in it. I used to love just sitting there reading it, the Hickory Dickory Docks and all that stuff. And, I mean, I would just start writing random poems. I think the first poem I ever wrote was called You're Magically Delicious. I know it sounds kind of odd, but I think that was one of the first ones I wrote. And I would just sit in my room some days and just write, do monologues or just write different poems and stuff. And I actually still have that, the paper like all the stuff that I wrote, some of my older poems, mm-hmm. I still have that mm-hmm. to this day. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to trash them, isn't it?
It is.
It's hard
it
to
is.
Get
Even
rid of those
like,
original writings.
It is. It's an evolution because I feel like this, you know, I wouldn't be who I am today without, you know, just some of that stuff. And I feel like going back looking at my writing and how much more, you know, how I've matured through my writing and how just I've grown better, you know, just writing my writing style is different. You know, I used to write a lot of poems that rhyme. Now I just write more like spoken word pieces or just different things. Like, it's just, I have such a variety of different poetry that I write to where I just don't have mm-hmm. a set way that I write things anymore. It just, I've evolved mm-hmm. over the years.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a particular one that this is not a good question. I was going to say that's your favorite because if you're like me, you love all your stuff.
I love a lot. Yeah, that's true. But I do. She's like, I just love everything.
I mean, let's keep it real.
Right?
Somebody
hey,
asked me, I say I love all my stuff. Everything I do,
I know
love
that's right. Right, because to me, you write like that. Your work is like your baby, right? It's you nurture it. You want to protect it. You kind of, you know, are guarded with who you share your work with. You know, it's special. And I feel like, I mean, I love my work too. And I will say one of the poems that I wrote, I think it just hits me deep. It's called All I Can Say. And I wrote that. It's the second poem I wrote for my mom. And this was one that I wrote, I would say, sometime earlier this year, I believe. But it's called All I Can Say. And that was for my mom. And so
well, you
I
know
think
what,
that is
Alicia,
one of my
I was actually going to ask you if there had been one as a tribute to your mother, but I didn't know if that would be a little bit too emotional for you. But if you would like to share that, I think that could be helpful to a lot of people, too, just to hear your thoughts on paper. Would you like to share that one with us?
Oh, I sure will. I definitely will be glad to share that one. And it is one of my favorites. All right. And this is called All I Can Say. What can I say that hasn't already been said, Mama? From the day that my heart was ripped out of my chest from your death, that moment that you took your last breath, you didn't even have a chance to say goodbye. And for that, I used to be angry at God and wondering why. But he knew that you had to go in the manner that you did, although my sister and I were just kids. It hurt like getting stung by a honeybee. Wait, no, a wasp. Because when a honeybee stings you, their lives are lost. But a wasp can keep stinging and stinging and stinging and stinging you and come back again like it wasn't even through. And that's exactly what it felt like that day, losing you, a moment in time snatched away. Some sinister video being replayed, making me watch it, holding me hostage, demanding a ransom for my sorrow. Me praying to God for tomorrow, begging time to let me borrow just a few minutes so that I could hold you one last time. A second for you to say what was on your mind. An hour of the day before you died to rewind. Now, what would you have said to my sister and I? That you didn't know that you were going to die? That if you did know that you would have tried to keep death from sneaking in through the back door, you would have stopped it in its tracks and slammed it on the floor and told it that you were staying another day just to hold us once more? Knowing you, Mama, you would have fought like crazy just to spend another hour with your babies. And I know sometimes it feels like death robbed us from that moment. How much of a coward it is to own it. Would death be scared if I came for it too? Would it run and hide like some people do, only to be snatched up like a hawk does its prey, laughing because it knows it can't get away? Your number was pulled and that day was your day, but oh, how I wish you could have stayed. But I love you, Mama, and that's all I can say.
Oh, Alicia, that's so awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
For sharing that. So awesome.
You're welcome.
So
thank
awesome.
You.
The thing I love so much about poems, because artist is able to say so many things that people are unable to express. And
right.
It just comes out in a way, too, that brings such a level of insight and comfort at the same time, even for something as difficult as you just spoke about.
Thank you.
That's really so awesome. Thank you for sharing
that.
Thank
you.
There have been a lot of, I lost my mother at a young age, and I, my daughter passed away just a few years ago. She had children. I will ask them to listen to your poem, because I think it just speaks volumes to how you can feel as a young person.
Yes.
And when you really had no opportunity to prepare for such a horrific event in your life. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. I know that had to touch you even then as you were saying it. So that's why I was kind of hesitant, and then I really feel like it was God led for you to share that, because it was so on my mind before you mentioned her. If you had done something,
oh my goodness,
yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Just simply amazing. So, I know that you have tons of others that hold a great deal of significance. I'm wondering, in the midst of all of the things that are going on in our world and up close and personal world, and I don't know how politically inclined you are. I'm just kind of making this broad when I ask you this question. Are there any things that are going on, or anything that you have done as an artist that reflects on life? And maybe you wrote something during the pandemic. Maybe the Me Too movement, or any of the other more obvious things that, we would recognize. Do you have anything that you could share with us in that regard?
I do. I do. I have. When COVID hit, I wrote a poem called Farewell 2020, and I do also have a poem called Me Too. And this sheds light on sexual abuse. And so... Yes, and I could share. Which one would you prefer? I could share either one.
Well, I'd like to hear them both. So, but go with the one that you did during the pandemic first, before we go into
Farewell.
Me Too. I want to talk about that a little bit before you do that one.
Okay. So this one's called Farewell 2020. Dear 2020, we heard that you were leaving soon, so we thought we'd give you a proper farewell. This past year has been a roller coaster for us, but for some, it was pure hell. You just couldn't leave quietly, could you? You had to go and cause a big scene as if COVID wasn't enough for us. You went and pulled other schemes. Political wars, violence, and racial tension, to name a few. Unemployment and depression. Some people lost their homes, too. But what do you even care? You're about to leave in several weeks. Do us a favor. Never come back in. Whatever you take, it's yours to keep. We never thought we'd be so excited to see this year pass on by. But believe us when we tell you, when you leave, we will not cry. We will not shed a single tear for you, because we did enough of that already. On a level of 1 to 10, you're 1,000 times more petty. You just sat back, watched and laughed as all hell broke loose. You think twice before laughing if you had to walk a day in our shoes. But it's okay, we don't hate you. You gave us a reason to keep on living. When we look back over this year, we had a whole lot of Thanksgiving. You see, you made us a lot stronger than we ever thought we could be. Even though we were quarantined, it made us spend more time with our families. You helped us save a lot of money by keeping our children out of school. And did we mention we saved on gas with all these mandatory shutdown rules? The holidays weren't the same, but it made us love our families more. It made us appreciate the times we took for granted once before. although you stole a lot from us, you gave us back more than we know. We were the real stars of 2020. You just put on the show. You thought that you could break us, but we're more grateful in the end. So farewell, 2020. We hope we never see you again.
Amen to that.
Yes, yes.
That was great. Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That was truly beautiful. See ya.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, don't come back.
Yes, that was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Let me ask you this, just because I'm curious about stuff. Where were you when you sat down to write that? What were you doing? What was your atmosphere and mood at that point?
Honestly, my mood was kind of just a little tired. You know, I was actually sitting. I was still working for my previous job. I used to work for Humana Health Insurance, and I remember just sitting in the office and just kind of looking at Facebook, just seeing everybody talking about, oh, the toilet paper, there's no more toilet paper, there's no more bananas, things like that, and, you know, just kind of having a fit. And so I just decided just to kind of write about that. I was just like, what can I say and speak for us all? I'm like, you know what? I can't wait till 2020 is over. Just hearing all the things that's been happening, you know, how frustrated everyone is. I just decided to do that right there in the office. Actually, I was at work. I worked from home, so I used that opportunity.
Yeah, well, that was truly, truly great. Do you by chance have it on video anywhere? I'd love to share that. And if you don't, I would just encourage you to do so, just so it can be shared. That was phenomenal, really.
Thank you. But I can have my husband record that. I'll have him record it and post it.
Please do, and let me know when you've got it up.
I sure will.
Let's talk about the Me Too movement. I don't know that there were many women not impacted by that whole movement and what it meant to all of us as girls and women. How did you come to a point where you felt you had to write about it?
What came to a point for me was just I was molested when I was younger, and just seeing all the women just speak out and stuff, and I feel like this, why am I holding in what happened with me? You know, you never know who else you could, you know, free by speaking your truth, right? You know, because look at how that happened. You know, one woman or two women spoke up, and it was just like a wildfire. And everyone's like, hey, me too, because a lot of times we're afraid as victims to speak out about what happened. One, because either someone may not believe us. Two, sometimes they think, oh, well, why did you wait so long? Why didn't you say anything? And then three, there's a lot of times when you have, you know, sexual abuse or whatever happened in families, a lot of times they like to keep that on the hush. Sometimes they may know about what's going on, but it could be uncle, it could be your cousin or whomever, or even aunties, you know, and they just don't want to shed light on that. You know, it's embarrassing, or it may bring shame to the family. So I just felt like, you know what, and this isn't my own personal story, this one. A lot of times when I write, I do it in the mindset of speaking for someone else. So with this Me Too, that's exactly the mindset I had when I wrote this. It was for someone else.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you shared that. I tell you, that whole movement just made me think, are there any of us who weren't molested? I mean,
right.
It was just, you know, it's a horrible thought, because there's still so many untold stories with it for
You're
so,
right.
so many reasons. And I'm glad it happened. I'm glad that movement happened, because I'm sure it brought out a lot of women and girls who needed to reach out and get the help that they needed, you know.
Yes.
In personal and quiet ways. At least that's my hope.
I agree.
Hope and prayer, but the numbers and the stories and the secrets are just stunning numbers. So, but anyway,
yes.
With all of that being said, I would like for the audience to hear your poem.
Okay. And this is called Me Too. I was afraid to speak out for fear I would be judged. The looks of disapproval, suspicious glances, or curious minds wondering why I didn't say no. Those demons bottled up inside of me whispering lies in my ear. You liked it. You wanted this to happen, or you could have just left. I've played this blame game on more occasions than I could count, replaying each situation in my mind, calculating at which point I could have, would have, or should have, but didn't do this or that. I even questioned my own mentality, labeling myself as crazy, stupid, or gullible. I despised the word victim because that made me seem weak and pathetic. But in reality, I was a victim. I was helpless in those situations, trapped by his body of lies, threats, and manipulations, my voice muffled by his groans and grunts as his filthy sweat poured over me. Each time it happened, the little girl died inside, my innocence blotted out by my blood-stained sheets. Every secret and detail of those assaults were hidden in my mattress. But I couldn't tell anyone, because who would believe a child? Or maybe they knew but just chose to ignore those unwarranted assaults, making me pay for a debt that I didn't owe. I wanted to end my pain or end his on many occasions, but I didn't have the strength. I just allowed it to happen over and over again with nowhere to run and hide or no one to protect me. That same scared little girl now faces that same situation. But this time his face is different, younger, but just as scary. His eyes are piercing with malice, his grip just as strong but cautious. I want to scream, but I'm afraid I'll only put myself in more danger. I want to fight back, but he outweighs me at least by 30 pounds or more, so I just lay there and allow him to do what I've always allowed them to do to me, ignoring the pain, stifling my screams, and praying that it's over just as fast as it started. My innocence being taken away from me again like it was the first time. My heart is racing. I hear all of those slurs spewing out at me, whore and slut. I know that I can't come forward because I've already been labeled by them. They've already judged me without knowing the dirty little details. I'm a victim, but yet my failure to run or fight back puts me at fault, or at least partially to blame. So when I hear those stories of unsolicited attacks, countless women who've been sexually abused, taken advantage of, or harassed, I don't stand up, but I quietly whisper to myself, me too.
Wow, profound. Profound.
Thank you.
Oh, you have such an amazing, amazing gift.
Thank you
for sharing that with me. Well, we need to talk about...
Oh, thank you for giving me the platform.
Oh, my pleasure. Listen, before we wrap up, we need to talk about your book, Uninterrupted
Yes.
Thoughts. Let's talk about that. I know that took a little work, a lot of work, and so let's tell people about your book, and you can share anything you'd like about it, your inspiration and purpose, and then let people know where they can get it.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, what inspired me, I've always wanted to be an author. As I stated earlier, you know, Langston Hughes, Emily Dickinson, Maya Angelou, Edgar Allan Poe, I've always wanted, one day knew that I was going to be an author, and I've always focused. I want to be an author. I want to be a writer. And so just with the help of God, first of all, first and foremost, with the help of the Lord and just pushing from my family and just my sisters, you know, Bible study women and prayer meeting women, just encouraging me to just pursue my dream. I just basically just kept all the poetry I've written over the years. And my husband, we met the lady. Her name is Anelda. She's actually, she's with Jazzy Kitty Publications. She's the one. We met her through Michael Gwynn, who also, he's a poet as well. He has books out. But he introduced us to her, and that's how I came, you know, to make or publish my book. She was the one that published it. And it was a process, though, just trying to figure out what I wanted it to look like. Just did I want it to, you know, have pictures and this and that. And so with this book, I don't have pictures. I wanted it to be just a whole plethora of poems that I've written over the years, just uninterrupted thoughts. So you're going to get happy poems. You're going to get inspirational, you know, Christian poems. You're going to get these me toos and all I can says and just different things like that. But I wanted it, my first book, to be that. You know, my business and the title of my book is Uninterrupted Thoughts, and I wanted it to be just that, just the continuation of flow of thoughts, everything that mm-hmm. I've been through in life, and that's what I wanted people to see. And so the mm-hmm. outside of it has butterflies, and that's just like my thoughts. The butterflies represent just all the thoughts and things just flowing out of me, free-flowing. So, and you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or I also have books at home. I bought my books, and if you want, I can mail them to you or, you know, meet you somewhere. They're $15, and we can go from there. So,
okay. Well, you might want to provide your contact when you know, because if they can get them directly and signed, that people might want to
yes.
do that.
Oh, yes. And I'm sorry. Thank you for that. So you can contact me either through my email, which is all lowercase, uninterruptedthoughts@yahoo.com, or you can hit me up with a through phone number, 817-673-2653, or through my Instagram, which is uninterrupted_thoughts. That's my Instagram, uninterrupted_thoughts. And my Facebook is just under my name, Alicia, A-L-I-C-I-A, last name Azahar, A-Z-A-H-A-R.
Okay, awesome. Well, I am going to include, I'll definitely include the Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Yahoo, and your phone number on the page that we have created for you on Blog
Thank
Talk
you.
Radio. And when I do a follow-up post, I'll also include it so that it's there as well. And you can grab that and share it, too, if you'd like to. But it's been delightful talking with you. Is there anything else that you'd like to contribute before we go or share? I know that you have tons of stuff, but if you feel good about where we're landing right now, we'll just go ahead and wrap up. And you know, I do appreciate you sharing all that you have today. I think we, with the poems that you share, we covered a lot of territory with them.
Did,
and I,
yes.
Yeah, and I
yes.
like that. I always say this too. I like for people to have go away. You know, as an artist, it's easy for us to enjoy what you're doing, but there were such great, awesome messages and what you shared. And if I knew how to do the little snapping with my fingers, I don't know, for some reason I can't finger pop very well.
That's okay. Hey, just I appreciate you.
I appreciate you as well, and I do thank you for being here. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Are you going to be performing anywhere that I know you mentioned this weekend? Do you want to tell us about that before you go?
Well, yes. Yeah, so Friday I will be at the Far Best Theater in Mansfield. They are putting on a talent show for the National Hispanic Heritage Month, and I've been asked to come do a poem. So I've been writing material for that. So that's Friday, and it starts at 7. And then there's also going to be that same night, Friday, Black and Bitter Coffee in Duncanville, Texas. That's one of the biggest open mic outdoor events. When I tell y'all, it's so good. They're doing the Woman King Poetry Slam. They're going to do an open mic night. And then after that, there will be a poetry slam. I'm not going to get to make it this time due to other obligations. Also, Saturday, October 1st, in Fort Worth, Texas, they're going to do the Harambe Festival. They're going to have a poetry slam out there, too. I will actually be in Waco. I wrote a poem called Earth is a Woman, and they selected my poem through the Poetry Society of Texas for publication. So I did
Congratulations.
Get my poem I chose. Thank you. So I'll be out there to receive, they're going to have a reception. I'll be out there with my husband and children as well to get my book and to just perform as well Saturday in Waco. So I thank God. God's been good.
I'm excited for you and proud to say that I had you on today and that we're friends. Thank you so much for taking your time and sharing as much as you have from your gift and from your heart.
Thank you, Silver. I appreciate you having me. And the last thing I want to say before we leave, I just want to just encourage anyone, never give up on yourself. Never give up on your dreams. Always keep God first. And just remember that it's never too late to start. It doesn't matter if you're 50, 40, 30, whatever. Just start. If God's given you a vision, if God's given you, a passion and a gift, if he's blessed you, which I know everyone's been blessed with something, find out what your gift is and use it and help people, because you don't know how your gift can be a blessing to others, and it can help them start using their gift. So thank you so much.
You are so welcome, and thank you for giving that encouragement. You have an amazing day, young lady, and I will look forward to staying in touch.
Yes.
All right.
You're the same. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank all of you for checking in today and being privy to such a wonderful, wonderful performance by Alicia Azahar. I thought that was just truly, truly a blessing having her here today to talk about her book, Uninterrupted Thoughts. And you can find that book, as she told us all, on Amazon and at Barnes and Noble. I'll be putting some of that information in a post and on this radio page for you to check it out and get a copy. I already have mine, so I'm there. So give her your support if you would, please. Want to remind you that I also have a couple of books on Amazon, What is Faith and Stay in the Ring. Check that out. Silver Ray Fox, What is Faith? Silver Ray Fox, Stay in the Ring. And I tell you, I've been working on some others for quite a while. I tell you, it's been quite a process to get those all in a wrap. Got everything done, but just haven't put it into publishing mode yet. But I'm getting there. I am getting there. I want you to share, whenever possible, these shows with your social media family. That would just give me such awesome delight if you would. And also, next week, you know what next week is? It's Master Your Mindset Monday. So I'll be talking to you about some of the stuff I always am talking about, something that helps us be better, think better, do better things in life, just because of how we put that twist on how we think. So I hope you'll tune in for that. I hope you'll have a great day. And again, go get your blessings. So in the meantime, be good, be blessed, be awesome.